bark, bark for the state.
Meow. Stop that. Down.
Crow for the state.
No, none of that. None of the animal sounds celebrating state. No.
When you don't have encryption, that's a vote for the state. I told Fred that tonight. He's doing a great job.
This is the Freedom Beats. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, intergalactic prairie studios. We alter your look to surrealist by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 365 Fahrenheit to keep a sim flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Michael and Diana, can you feel it? God, it's been so long since I've been on here.
Yes, I can feel it. It's been a while for you.
Yeah.
I just wrote sick. Someone, I don't care. I got what I want. I was asking somebody to post something tomorrow when I'm asleep, you know, on their site that I only have permission to post once a day on it. It's a meme about the guy who the cop who choked and punched the jaywalker in California today. And it's a meme that...
Oh, my God.
Could you narrow it down a little bit more?
Okay. Sacramento today, a cop punched a jaywalker. And there's a picture of it already. There's cop dashboard footage of a cop choking a guy in broad daylight on a nice day on a suburban street with no traffic on it. And I guess someone, you know, except the cop car that's blocking the middle of the street. And it says, without the government, who would punch the jaywalkers? And I was asking someone to post it tomorrow a.m. on Punk Rock Libertarians. I only can post there once a day, 6:30 Central Time p.m. And I post them weeks ahead of time. And then if something comes up, I change it around and, you know, put the pressing thing up. But this story is going viral, and it's going to be viral by tomorrow morning. So I asked him to post it, and he, like, half hour later, he wrote, "Yep, I can." And a half hour later, he wrote, "Did it." And then he said, "Sorry, so short, busy right now." And I said, "No problem. I got what I wanted." You know, I don't ever want to talk to anyone. I just want them to do things for me. But those things generally amount to promoting liberty in some way. So, Lou, do you know about that? Will Grigg died today, Lou?
Yes, that, I right? do. And it's pretty sad. Because he's quite an accomplished writer, very, very good writer, and also a heck of a nice guy. I never had too many opportunities to interact with him, but I always thought that when I did, he was a real sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah, I never read a lot that he wrote, because I don't read a lot of Liberty stuff, because I can't do other things while I do it, but I've heard a lot of podcasts of his, and I've been sharing them. I hadn't talked to him in a long time, but I remember I wrote you like a month ago and said, "Hey, I'm trying to get Will Grigg on the show," or something like that. And you're like, "Yeah, but you know, he's really busy." So I wrote him and I asked him if I could, if his stuff had any cussing in it, because I want to add it to this cussfreeliberty.org streaming site I was starting. And he wrote back and said, "No cussing, you know," and he said he'd be honored if we put it on. And he was really psyched about it. We chatted back and forth a little bit. And this was like a month and a couple days ago. And I guess he went in the hospital. You said he's been in the hospital several times back and forth. And he,
I don't know about several, but at least two or three times in the past few months.
Yeah, there's a fundraiser started by a friend of his that is confirmed as legit. Scott Horton shared this, and Scott Horton is very close with Will Grigg. There's a GoFundMe that was started 2 weeks ago for medical support for Will Grigg that I'll post in the show notes. And if you're listening to this live, you can just search GoFundMe medical support for Will Grigg. Grigg is G-R-I-G-G. And it's the one started by A.J. Ellis in Idaho. That's where Will Grigg lived. And it's still active if you want to help. It's, you know, Your medical bills don't stop when you die. They just go to your family. So, you know, if you want to help out his family with medical bills, that'd be a good thing. I would help, except I'm still trying to get out from under my medical bills. But actually, somebody wrote me today, and, you know, as soon as they die, like, the person who turned me on to Will Grigg said, man, we should make, like, an audio... what's it called when you honor somebody? A tribute.
Tribute.
You said an audio tribute. You know, do you want to record, you know, 45 seconds about what he meant to you? And I was like, you know, I'm glad you're doing that, but that sounds kind of We Are the World for me. I'd rather tribute him, do an audio tribute to him by just continuing to share his audio and push it to people. You know, what can I say about him? You should listen to him in his own words. His stuff is pretty timeless, and you could get it. Let me find the exact website. I'll also put this in the show note, but you really should check him out if you haven't heard him.
Freedominourtime.blogspot.com, I believe it is.
Yeah, there's another place that he had ready. It's long. It's long website names, though, too. If you go to Cuss Free Liberty and click on shows, cussfreeliberty.org, and go to shows, there's a link directly to the audio feed of his podcast, Freedom Zealot. And the website, if you want to go, it's libertarianinstitute.org/freedomzealot is his podcast. And there's about 30 episodes, 35 episodes maybe, of it up there. It's great. You know what? This is like the weird thing about, this is weird about death to me. Like, I was listening to, you know, I program Scott Horton stuff too, and I was listening to it on the stream right before we started, and you know, I heard Scott, it was from like weeks ago, and it was Scott Horton being interviewed by Tom Woods, and Scott Horton is saying, you know, they're talking about how great Will Grigg is and how he just got out of the hospital and he's feeling better. I heard that.
Wow.
I was like, ugh. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Lou?
Yeah, I might as the pro-libertarian is freedominourtime.blogspot.com. He also has an archive at lourockwell.com. You mentioned the Libertarian Institute and Freedom Zealot, and I mean, this guy's all over the place. If this guy worked any harder, he'd be a family of illegal immigrants.
If this guy worked any harder, he'd have a heart attack.
Oh my God.
Too soon.
Oh, come on.
Well... It would have been funny yesterday, and you know, people do work themselves to death in liberty with very little thanks and no money. You know, Scott Horton's another one. He's still around. That guy, you know, send some money to Will Grigg. Money you're going to send the Freedom Fiends this month. Send it to Will Grigg's family. How's that? And send a little bit to Scott Horton, too, because he is, you know, the second, he's now the hardest working man in rock and roll as far as liberty goes. He, you know, really... really just puts it out. There's a lot of people who do. But, I'm not going to talk about... Was it Ben Stone? You know, Ben Stone... I'm glad this didn't happen that close to the one with Ben Stone. Remember Ben Stone and... Bill Buepert had heart cardiac events within a couple months of each other a couple years ago.
Yeah, and I remember that.
Ben was convinced, he was half joking but half serious, that he thought the government was using their alleged heart attack gun on liberty people. You know, I don't want to think of that. I think it's just working too hard.
But they did get better. They met up at Pork Fest and they went on the road to do the angina monologues.
The angina monologues. Yeah. That's funny.
Lou, who made that up? With this?
Like, I think one of them came up with this, didn't they?
No, I brought that up because you were leery about telling Bill that I said it at the time.
Oh, and he liked it.
Yeah, and so did Ben.
Oh, you said it at the time. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm like 500 steps behind right now.
They were out of the woods, but they were still in the shade from the trees.
Yeah.
When I had said it.
That's where I am these days. What did you say, Diana?
Oh, Oh, I was just saying that I'm just 100 steps behind here.
Oh, yeah, in that, like, we explained who Will Grigg was to you right before the show started.
Yeah, and I'm, like, sitting here listening to you guys, and I'm like, how in the heck do I not know who he is? Like,
yeah, how did that happen? Doesn't he have stuff on Mises, too? You're on Mises, but that doesn't mean you listen to everything on Mises.
Well, I haven't done any narration for quite some time.
Your Mises stuff gets played on cussfreeliberty.org.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you were still doing that, Diana.
No, I'm not.
But that's the good thing about good audio is it can get played forever. And actually, I want to do a call, a request, if there's somebody who knows how to put torrents together. If somebody wants to put together a torrent of all or most of Will Grigg's audio, I'll add the torrent into the Freedom Fiends torrent RSS link. I don't have time to do it. It would be, I don't know, it'd be a bunch of hours, but not a ton. I mean, you could do it in a day, probably. But if someone wants to do that, let me know, and I'll give you links of where to start looking and put it together and share it on a torrent. I think that would be, you know, all of the, oh my, I've looked at his feed today. If you look on Facebook, it's William N. Grigg, G-R-I-G-G. There's like hundreds of people talking about how great he was and what they meant to him. And, you know, I love that stuff. It's great. But I will say that a lot of people, when someone dies, try to make it about themselves. You ever notice that? I'm not saying that that's all those people are doing, but I've seen some of that already today, you know, of the... he was important. You know, I actually posted a conversation that he and I had today on Facebook and then immediately deleted it, like before anyone commented. I was like, you know what? I don't need to do this. I don't need to say, yes, I knew him like that. Yeah. You know, just, I just wanted to kind of share something cool of him. You know, it was him talking. But there's a lot of stuff of him out there talking, so go find it. And I actually made a joke today. Nima Vedati said too soon, and I took it down. But I said, you like Will Grigg? Name five of his albums.
Well, it's not an album, but one of the first articles that I saw of his, and I was still fairly new to Liberty at the time, but I saw this article, and it was about his, he was adopted. So he had lived a lot of his life thinking that he was of certain descent and everything. And later on in his life, I'm not sure exactly when, and I couldn't find this article. It really bummed me out. But he got a chance to find out about about his birth parents. I don't know if he actually met them, but he got a chance to find out. So anyway, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So I wanted to clarify when I was talking about Will Grigg dying. And I said, a lot of times when people die, people that are alive still, you know, everything they post seems to be about themselves. I wasn't really saying that about anyone who was posting about Will. I really didn't see anything that would qualify as that, really. But it's just something that happens. What I was getting at was, I think that the best way to honor somebody who died, who's a media producer, is to share their media and especially do things to archive it and keep it available. You know, like, make a mirror of his website sharing all of his audio, something like that. Or you know, a torrent of it, but even a mirror of the website, you know, who knows, maybe somebody's going to forget to pay the, you know, the domain fee or whatever, or, you know, the more places something is, the more I think you are really like, I saw something today. It was actually posted about Will, and I really liked it. It said, no one is really, something like, no one is really dead until the last ripple of their words are left from the world's mouths, something to that effect. But I really like that, and that's basically mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say is, you know, it's one thing to just say, oh, he was a great man, but I think you do even more for a media producer if you share their media and keep it alive and turn other people onto it. Lou? Yeah.
Going back to that article that I was talking about before the break, that was really a very touching article where he poured his soul out into the words on that paper or on that screen, in my case. And he talked about, you know, having his own family now and everything. And I liked his Liberty stuff, but that's when I really had an appreciation for him as a human. And there's a nice little quote here from Jim Bovard today. Watching Will Grigg attack a government program was like seeing someone use a chainsaw to cut through a bale of cotton. It always worked out badly for the government.
That's a good one.
So, man. Yeah, and he certainly had a way with words when he was talking about the police brutality and just
he did.
The general all-around scumbaggery.
And somebody said that his when he, you know, when he'd be interviewed by somebody like Scott Horton, there's a lot of he's on a lot of Scott Horton episodes, and those I'm going through the Scott Horton episodes and adding them into the cussfreeliberty.org feed, which is a feed for people who want to listen to something like LRN but don't like all the F-bombs, and also for something for people that want to program a Liberty radio station but don't want to program F-bombs, even if you're, you know, not waiting for permission. My theory is that not broadcasting F-bombs is going to make you stay on the air longer because people are less likely to realize, oh my God, this is that kind of radio that goes arg, arg. You know, yeah. If you sound just like another radio station, but you're talking about another talk station, but you're talking about anarchy, people will just flip past it on the dial if they're, you know, not looking for that kind of thing.
Well, something else, if you have fewer commercials than a conventional radio station would have, and you have good bumper music, then you'll have people searching you out, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, WBSKT or whatever for
Basket
Bearsketchewan.
Yeah. And we have an article about that. It's called Make Your Own Liberty Station for $150, and it's linked on the button on cussfreeliberty.org called Make Your Own Liberty Station for $150. The article used to be called Make It for $250, but the price went down and it got smarter. And there are ideas about how to not get caught, including ways to hide an antenna. Anyway,
for competition to get it down to $99.
They could do it.
The market will provide.
What? You want that? I'll hook you up. No, I'm kidding. Talk to me in the break. I'm kidding. But the other thing that people said about Will that I really liked is that he sounded like Final Draft while improvising. You know, like if you had him on your show, like when he's on Scott's show, the words that were coming out of his mouth sounded like an article. You know, they were he spoke very well, even on the fly.
Something else I noticed from when I'd hear him on other podcasts and everything was that he was always a gentleman. He was always a kind yeah. person when he went on somebody else's show.
Yep. So he's a gentleman on his own show. Even when he was talking about what rats the cops are, you know, he didn't cuss, he didn't yell. He's polite.
Yeah.
But that makes him more listenable. Meow. You know why I pulled you over? Meow. Here's Castro.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, Meow Bit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
I would much rather do both, but I can't do both, so I'm still trying to decide. I haven't seen the ocean for almost 2 years.
Are you black?
I'm part black, yes. I know we are.
Well, Diana, still talking about the Liberty Fest.
Since you're part black, you don't need to go to the ocean because you can't swim. Or you don't swim.
But hey, I'm just need to go to Northern Michigan because you'll be special there. There aren't many.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know there's not very many black people in Michigan, I don't think. Or
there are
not
in Michigan,
that part.
Just not the not in Detroit. There are not in Bears
Kalamazoo,
though, right, Lou?
Or Bears? Yeah.
Oh, the demographics up here are ridiculous. I'm kind of the diversity up here.
You're like the only one with brown hair, probably.
Did I make my joke on air about if you started a radio station, or did I say that before the show?
Oh, we said that before the show.
That was pretty good. Yeah, I saw the house you're going to buy, and I was like, you know, there'd be a good place to hide an antenna on that property. You should start a little, community radio station there. And then I Googled your town and realized that there are 80 people. It's two towns together, and there are 80 people in them together. So if the town of 40 people suddenly had a new anarchist radio station out of nowhere, and you were the one guy that showed up that day, I think they'd figure it out.
Yeah, the town is actually called Tri-Yard Area.
Yeah, yep. Don't Google it. It's so small, it's not on any
Lou,
maps.
It's not so small, actually called that.
It's so small, Google can't even find it.
What's the name of it? Oh, no, never mind. Don't say it on the air.
You have to wait for their new... Yeah, you don't move to a town of 40 people to disappear and then say the name of the town on the air. It's actually in Canada, but...
Hey, speaking of the radio station, is it possible to do that from an apartment? I'm just asking hypothetically for a friend.
It's probably not the best idea from an apartment because those kind of transmitters... can cause problems of other electronics that's within about 30 feet. You know, like people who do radio shows have to turn them off maybe when they do a radio show and then turn them back on after. So, yeah, you would probably be like affecting, things in your...
Not me, a friend.
Door. Yeah, and your friend would probably be affecting. But, we can discuss it.
Anyway, yeah, I was just asking.
There might be ways around it.
If
you had roof access, one of those, maybe.
If they had roof access, yeah.
If that person had roof access, then maybe.
It's kind of funny because that person, where that person lives now, kind of does have roof access. if that person wanted to risk their lives climbing up there.
I wouldn't know anything about that. They should go read the article that Cash Newman wrote. You can Google this. Let me see if this shows up in Google. But it's while you talk about being black, it's called Make Your Own Liberty Radio Station for $150.
Yeah, so I'm what was the fraction? It was a 1/200th. So you're more black than I am.
You can just Google "make your own Liberty radio station" and it's the first thing that shows up. Yeah. All right.
Are we glossing over the fact that you're black again?
I'm 1/64th black. You're like 1/320th black. Does that?
No, 1/200th. You're more black than I am.
I am.
This is true, makes it hard to believe. Can you dance? I sure can.
I can dance like a punk rocker or like a deadhead, which means no.
But you probably at least have rhythm.
I once said, if you think that cliches aren't based on a grain of truth, go watch white people dance at a Grateful Dead show and then go to watch black people dance at a funk concert.
Yeah. Well, it could be maybe if some of the white people were listening to funk, they could dance too.
I don't know. Grateful Dead played some stuff that was kind of funky. Actually, no, because I saw a funky band open up for the Grateful Dead, and everyone still danced like it was hippie dance. I saw, the Dead didn't usually play with other bands. They usually played like, 3 or 4 hours just by themselves. But I saw a really weird bill. It was New Year's Eve in Oakland one year, and it was Tom Tom Club, which was people from the Talking Heads playing like disco.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah, I remember them.
That doesn't really count. That's not really that funky. It was trying to be funky, but but the Neville Brothers, who are incredibly funky. Mm-hmm. You know who the Neville Brothers are?
Yeah, they definitely
played. And like members of the Dead played on stage with them too. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why it wasn't funky. Maybe maybe Jerry jamming along with them made it less funky.
Yeah. Well, I can dance all kinds of dances. I can dance hippie dance. I can dance hip hop. Anything. I can dance.
And, people listen here, a couple people are probably getting upset. Like, hey, man, don't make fun of the Dead. But did you miss the part about I went to some more than one Dead show? So I don't hate them.
If you believe that white people can dance, go to a Polish wedding and watch. And outside of the chicken waltz dance, it's a mess.
Well, a waltz is made. It's all waltzes, right, with accordions. So waltzes are made. Waltzes and polkas, they're all in 3/4 time. Well, polkas are in 2/4, and waltzes are in 3/4. And polkas and waltzes are music created that you can dance to without falling over, because the beat makes you come back up when you're falling over.
You've never seen how much they drink at a Polish wedding.
Interesting.
I can imagine.
Did not know that.
Is this something unique to the Northern Peninsula of Michigan?
No. Just us Polacks. Okay. I'm half Polish.
Just the middle part of the country. Sweet.
Are you half Polish, for real?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that for a fact? Because, so I had my ancestry done, and it did not, so I'm like 99.1%.
It doesn't list countries, because Poland didn't exist. It exists in regions. Europe, you'd say Eastern Europe, Western Europe.
Yeah, but you did 23andMe too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
we should compare ours and see if we're related.
Yeah, we can hook up on there.
We can on there. Let's hook up on 23andMe. On the basis of our like tiny, tiny, tiny blackness.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe that I have any black genetics, but I did convert when I was in Detroit.
Yeah. So, Michael, do you have any idea if yours is on your father's or your mother's side? Any idea?
No.
I know that because they didn't do their DNA,
My siblings all want to take that now, but for some reason they took it on the other one. Like I told them, because I think it's cheaper. I think it's $100 on Audacity.com, Ancestry.com. Yeah,
it's not as good because a bunch of people in my family did it
as
well.
It's not as detailed.
And it's just,
They cheaped out and took the $99 one. I'm famous, so a fan paid for mine. So,
sweet.
If you go to 11.5 and me, you get it for half price.
Yeah.
The toughest part of coming up with that joke was doing the math of dividing 23.
The math. It's technically the math because it's the mathematics is what math is short for.
So I had had my kit for quite some time because I'm adverse. What? The 23andMe kit. I had that for anyway.
Go on.
Oh gosh.
Do you have to pee on a matchstick for that, or how does it work?
No, I had to spit. I had to spit in a tube.
You had to spit a bunch in a
tube.
It
was excruciating, and I hate because I hate like spitting unnecessarily.
Really?
And which government agency do you send your DNA sample to?
Well, I didn't necessarily use my name, so you know. The government may have a profile for Cash Newman or someone else like him. Yeah. I don't know. You don't have to use your name.
I'd had my kit for a while. They already had my name and all that information. And
I didn't use my real name because they'll, you know, I don't need that. I don't need to be anymore.
Well, at the time, I wasn't quite as savvy when it came to privacy. So I sent it in. I finally sent it in after having it for 3 years.
I thought you put the name in the database when you send it in.
I put it in when I bought it, and then when I went to register the kit, I had to put the number or whatever in, and it knew who I was and everything. So
I wasn't that savvy last week, but now I've figured it out.
Yeah, let's be clear, it was much longer than that. but I do know that I am officially Jew. 23% Ashkenazi Jew.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hot. Can you write screenplays?
So I'm part black and part Jewish.
You should be able to write screenplays.
I probably could if I sat down and focused.
We talked last night about, did you guys hear last night's show? We talked about, there's this famous speech by some Native American leader. It's called like Chief Dallas or Chief somebody. Do you know about that? It's some often quoted speech about, you know, why we should leave the environment alone.
Yeah, you know, Al Gore used it.
Yeah. And Jim said it turns out that, like, it wasn't written by a Native American. That Native American never existed, and it was written by, you know, an out-of-work screenwriter. And I named the episode an ode to the great screenwriter, what did I say, like, Chief Two Pens Horowitz.
I can laugh at that because I'm part
Chief Seattle, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, Chief Seattle was.
Anyway, talk more about your new bootylicious-ness, and I'll look at it.
So those are the two probably most noteworthy things on my thing. The rest of it was like, you're Chief European, Dallas. Whatever. Yeah, you're just.
Yeah,
you're
are
just
you part Neanderthal though? Neanderthal?
Yes, 255 variants.
Yeah, nice. Let me look at mine. I think I'm a lot. I think we're like 375 or something.
I think most European descended people do have some Neanderthal.
No, that's not true. Actually,
really?
Most European descended white people have more African in them than they have Neanderthal in them. Neanderthal is common. Yeah. Neanderthal
means
see,
it didn't give me a percentage. It just said I had 255 variants. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's in percentages. It's in variants.
Right.
The more you have, the smarter you are. Because Neanderthals, the theory now is that that Neanderthals were absorbed by Neanderthals were Homo sapien. You guys know that?
Yes, of course. They weren't Homo sapiens sapiens. They were Homo sapiens Neanderthalus.
Right. So they were subspecies of modern man. And the theory is that they intermingled with humans and were absorbed to become what modern man is. But not everybody has some of them in them.
What was that? Yeah. What was that movie? Fire, something that came out like I think in the late 80s. What
Quest
was it?
For Fire. Ray
Quest
Don
for
Chong.
Fire. Yeah, it was.
Hey, I'm predisposed to weigh more than average, so if people call me fat,
too.
I can just show them.
Meow, meow, somebody. Meow. We'll be back with more Encino Man after this.
I almost got a song in that movie.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Trigger Weens, We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
Looked up Cash Newman's 23andMe results, and he has 302 Neanderthal variants, which is more than 84% of 23andMe customers.
So, yeah, mine's more than 79%. So I guess you're
Then why did you say you thought most people had it?
I just had read that somewhere, so I guess I was incorrect about that.
Maybe that's true of everyone except people that take the 23andMe test.
Yeah.
Maybe being a Neanderthal makes you want to take the 23andMe test. I didn't even know that was a thing until I got the results back, actually.
Yeah.
So, Lou, what else we got?
I don't know. I'm looking at this stuff.
Oh, I am also part East Asian. Also part East Asian, too. Like, very small percentage, but...
Yeah. What, Lou?
Sorry.
Oh, I have a bunch of articles on my phone in one of the browsers, which kind of explains why it runs like crap all the time, but...
You have what on your phone?
Articles.
Oh.
Yeah, I have a browser that like stays open all the time.
One you'd like
anyway,
to share
I was looking
the whole
for
class?
Articles for when we run out of this... stuff to talk about.
I just want to say again, I said this the other day and then someone made a meme about it, but you ever notice that the police, when they put on their SWAT gear and they're like hide their faces and pose menacingly with their weapons, that
they look like ISIS?
They look like ISIS. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
From your local police to the feds, they look and they act like ISIS. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a matter of fact,
I have noticed that. Yes,
the CIA recently released a warning through the National or Department of Homeland Security, stating that ISIS cells, groups, whatever, they're traveling across the country and they're doing it like completely unchallenged. They're wearing their all black uniforms and their ski masks and they're armed to the teeth with their machine guns and everything else, and nobody's messing with them because they're wearing badges and sheriff logos.
Yeah, as not a matter true fact, but funny.
There was an attack recently, and they were interviewing this woman. She was a witness, and they asked her, said, "Hey, you know what happened?" And she says, "Oh, I was scared to death. They had the black ski mask, and I thought it was ISIS, but when they shot the dogs, I knew that they were our local police and not ISIS."
Ew.
You know the difference between cops and ISIS? ISIS what? Doesn't really hate your freedom and want to take it away from you.
Ooh. Well, actually, ISIS also hates your freedom and wants to take it away from you, but
not as
I don't know
much
about ISIS, but Al-Qaeda does. Al-Qaeda, one of the stated reasons for 9/11, there was a, you know, when people say, I don't know why these people hate us so much. Well, actually, bin Laden wrote pretty much an essay on why 9/11 happened, and it was...
Why I Hate America by Osama it was a bunch bin Laden.
By A. bin Laden, 11th grade. it was most of it was the United States' ongoing presence in the Middle East, specifically in Saudi Arabia, which is where Mecca is, the holiest part of the world for Muslims, and also for supporting Israel, who basically, you know, kill Muslims and kick them out of their own land and make it into apartment buildings. But also for, you know, people make jokes about like, oh yeah, they hate us because they don't like Britney Spears' boobs on the TV. Well, actually, that's one of the reasons. He didn't specifically say her, but he said, you know, the pornographic quality of, you know, network of television and media in America. That was
so he wanted better porn? He said, you know, pornographic quality.
They said that they found porn videos in that room that they killed him in. I think that's BS. I mean, I'm not saying he was an honorable man, but I'm just saying, like, that's something the United States would do just to, like, add insult to death, I think. President Sanders, a bottle of whiskey, too.
Yeah, I'm skeptical about that whole thing, so.
I can't speak for Bin Laden because I've never met him, at least not that I know of. Allegedly. Having lived in the Detroit area for most of my life, I have been exposed to many Middle Easterns, particularly of the Islamic religion. And when you go to a strip club, there's generally
a bunch of young dudes there. Yeah. Well, the guys who bombed 9/11, those guys did before they killed themselves. They went and had some lap dances and some liquors, but you know.
Oh gosh!
Guess me aside,
I'm really off my game tonight.
Worms.
Worms.
Worms. Worms.
We'll be back. Second hour of the Freedom Fiends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot to leave. So okay.
Yay.
Yeah. So anyway, this is Freedom Fiends, and we are broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center, slow orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza, on the artificial satellite Lib Pair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Org.
Org. So I made a mistake in the last hour. I said that Chief Seattle didn't
exist. I was wrong.
Chief Seattle's speech was made up. He didn't say it. Some screenwriter, I think, named Chief Two Pens Horowitz wrote it. But there is a statue of Chief Seattle, because he really existed, in Seattle, Washington. I'm looking at a picture of it online. Behind it, it's in this little park, and behind it, there's a business across the street. It says immigration law. And I'm thinking, like, is that to help white people immigrate to the land of Chief Seattle? All right.
Well, I tell you what, my ancestors didn't come here just to have a bunch of immigrants ruin this country.
You ever have China White Lou in the Army?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Do you guys ever do heroin?
Oh, no. Not while I was in the Army.
No.
A lot of people were dying from
it. Or out of the Army, for that matter.
Yeah.
I smoked opium before, but not here. I never,
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How'd that happen? That's hard to get.
I don't know. I was in college. Somebody had it.
Somebody's dad brought it over in their diplomatic pouch, probably. Yeah.
No, it was actually part of it was like rolled up in a joint I smoked in college at one point. Yeah.
Well, there's a mythical kind of dope called Thai stick that I never saw. Yeah. It was supposed to be like from Thailand, and it was supposed to be a marijuana stalk with marijuana flowers tied to it with like strings, fibers pulled out of the stalk and then sealed with opium. Like that was the glue holding it together.
Yeah.
I
don't know. I think I smoked that before too, but I'm not sure.
Maybe
I was
Chief
probably
Seattle
told that's it. What it was, but...
All right, so
I would basically take or smoke anything that people gave me back then.
I'd like to add something to the Chief Seattle story.
Yeah,
when, go ahead. When I first heard when the screenwriter, Chief Two Pens Horowitz, had heard the stuff from what he wrote being used, he's like, well, I don't really think they should be using it because it's fake, but it's getting a good message out there. And of course, like everything else, it had the snowball effect. It started picking up more stuff and more stuff. And because it was such a great piece of propaganda, I mean message, about environmentalism. They ran wild with it. And finally, he's just like, stop, stop, stop. And he turns into like Negan. And he's like, I'm shutting this humor down. No exceptions. Quit using my lines. It's just, oh, my God. So anyway, yeah, I just thought I'd share that.
So, Lou, I think you should give a little intro to the people in the cheap seats who might be hearing this for the first time on radio, because we did get added to a station recently in Oklahoma City, which is huge.
That's hey,
a big
y'all.
City, big metro
hey,
area.
Oklahoma.
It's a 10,000 watt station. And we
I'd sooner be
them.
Played in Oklahoma than anywhere else if I had my choice.
Why
see
is
what
that?
I did there?
I do see. Why? Because that's the one I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. KZLS, Kazillus. We'd like to welcome Kazillus in Oklahoma
welcome
City.
Welcome to the Fiend family.
Yep. We're on for 1 hour every Sunday, but I'll take it. And I think it'd be good if we did a little intro to Liberty here, because we do a lot of horse playing around on this show, and we don't take drugs anymore, but we talk about drugs. I don't take drugs anymore, but I'll talk about what I did 22 years ago. Coming up on 23 years ago.
Me
how
about
too. I have my medical ice cream card. I just have a prescription.
Good. Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, I can talk about how I never saw a tie stick 23 years ago. But Lou, why don't you give a little like some mad science about liberty and what it is and why it's different than the liberty that they talk about on the Glenn Beck show, and just why government's bad. You want to ramble for about 5 minutes about that? Not even ramble. It's good, you know, good stuff.
I think I can do that.
I think the Fiends could use that. I think it's been a while. So
little injection, yeah.
Wind it up. Go. Go.
I will drop some mad scientists here because obviously you have to go to the bathroom.
No.
What is liberty?
I have to look up tie stick to see if it's fictitious or not.
Go to Snopes. They always have the proper info. So what is what is liberty? Liberty is essentially self-ownership. It means that you own yourself. It means that nobody else has a higher claim to your life or the product of your labor than you do. It means that just because some people scribble some words down on paper does not mean that you have to abide by it.
Yes.
It means that when you go out and you do when you do the work, you know, when you go out and you produce something and you sell it, it means that you have a right to engage in that labor.
Preach.
I think, what's that?
I said preach.
Oh. Well, I remember the churches in Detroit, so you got to say something like, come on now. Can I get an amen? So anyway, where this differs from... let's say constitutional liberty, you hear on the Glenn Beck show and things like that. What we are preaching is pure, uncut liberty. It's not tainted by any social contracts, constitutions, or laced with any of that nonsense stuff. This is pure, uncut liberty. And if you want to look at the moral principles behind the philosophy of liberty, because libertarianism is yeah, there's people that will refer to it as the political ideology, which means we're Republican light, we're pro-pot Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Tea Party.
But when you're looking at the philosophy of libertarianism, it's based on the zero aggression principle. Mm-hmm. And quite simply, that is, nobody has the right to initiate aggression against another person or their property. And that's not pacifism. A lot of people say, well, does that mean you don't defend yourself? No, it says do not initiate aggression. It means you don't start nothing. And a lot of people will say, well, yeah, that's really nice, but you know, that's not very realistic. And to that I would say, well, if you have children, what do you teach your children? Do you teach your children to start fights with other people?
No.
Do you teach your children to steal their stuff?
No.
Because that's essentially what it is. Don't hit people. Don't take their stuff. Kindergarten rules.
Yep.
And you could even say, you could if they're religious, you can reference the Bible and the golden rule. It says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah.
Because one of the other parts of the philosophy is because you own yourself, you have the right to live your life as you see fit, so long as you do not violate the rights of others in that regard.
Right.
So pretty simple stuff.
In a nutshell, it is pretty simple, and people tend to take it and make it super complicated.
Yeah,
well, get into the weeds and down the rabbit holes with all the nap stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks that want to wax intellectually and say, well, what about this? What about that? Is this a violation of the non-aggression principle? Well, I don't know, but probably you're asking me every 20 seconds if everything is a violation of the nap is probably a violation of the nap in itself.
Yeah, how about you apply the nap in your life the way that you see fit, and I'll do the same.
Yeah, and this particular aspect of it came up a couple of times in conversations, separate conversations over the past couple of days, and one of my big advancements in accepting the philosophy of liberty and adopting it was the understanding of leaving other people alone to do their own thing. And if somebody's doing something that's detrimental to them, and there's a lot of things out there that are detrimental, I might mention to them, you know what, this is probably not a real good idea, but ultimately it's their life.
Yeah.
And I have to accept that they're going to do what they're going to do. Because let's be honest, if I started harping at somebody, and I had a number of people that harped on me to quit smoking for 30 years at least, and I didn't do it. When did I finally quit? Well, I quit when I decided that it was time to quit. And it wasn't because anybody told me, well, it bothers me, or I won't go out with you because you smoke, or any of that other stuff. It didn't happen. Matter of fact, I didn't even have a doctor tell me, well, you're sick, you got to quit, or you're going to die soon. You know, none of that stuff. I just made the decision on my own. And
I mean, that's how it should be.
Yeah, but
otherwise it's not going to stick.
Yeah, the reality is that's how things work. People make their decisions, and that's where they go, they go from there, and they're gonna do their thing. So, although it may not be the best thing, I leave people alone. I'm very conservative in how I live my life, but I'm very hands off in how I live other people's lives. I guess that would be a good way of putting it.
You know hands what I mean off there? And how you leave other people's lives.
And how Ice Tick exists,
yeah,
apparently. And
I could have told you that.
It's being made again, It's being made again, though, but they're replacing the opium with shatter. Diana, what's shatter? Since you live in Colorado, they teach that in grade school.
It's like
school,
a very, it's a very concentrated form of.
It's like peanut brittle cannabis. Made out of hash oil.
Yeah, essentially. Right? Yep, it's very strong. Yeah, it's very strong. That's what people talk about doing dabs. When they say doing dabs, that's what they're doing.
Dab me outside. How about that?
Dab me outside. How about that?
Yeah, so another
I could have told you the tie stick was real. Back in the 80s, I knew a guy who knew a guy who met somebody that had a little bit of it.
In the Army? Yeah. So another thing that's not very liberty-minded is mouse pocketing. And the name of this show is going to be, do you got a mouse in your pocket? Or something like that. Or stop mouse pocketing. But
don't mouse pocket me, bro. I found
it's a computer mouse in someone's pocket. It says, don't mouse pocket me, bro.
Yeah.
Explain mouse pocketing and how it's antithetical to liberty and what it is.
Well, it's about when people talk about we. And a lot of times they're talking about we when it refers to we as a country.
Well, we got to do about them Middle Easters.
Right, exactly. That's mouse pocketing. Yeah. Yeah. So.
I don't have any Middle Easters.
Yeah. And so whenever, and a lot of times, yeah. And meow, we have a thing that says, meow.
Meow.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Mouse pocketing. You can still say we. It just has to be about you and the people in your, you know, that you can reach out and touch, like you guys. rather than people you don't know.
You got a Middle Easterner in your pocket, boy.
When people say we, they're actually usually like they're drafting people.
It's a tribal we. It's like the
they
tribal.
Really mean
tribal
you. We.
They're what, Lou?
They really mean you. When they say we have to do this, they mean you have to do this.
No, they mean somebody else has to do this, and you have to pay for it.
Right.
I'll supervise.
Did we say on air or on the break about how Thai stick looks like food? The way it's displayed is pot porn.
It's cannabis. It's cannabis porn.
Yeah, I don't smoke drugs, and this stuff looks yummy. I mean, it just looks, the way they display it, it really is porny. It's funny.
I've got Ben Jerry's right now. Is it better than this?
How come though, sometimes when you, if you Google 1970s Thai stick, for some reason you get a lot of pictures in there also of sushi. That's nothing to do with, but it's kind of similar. like long, it's sushi on a stick too, that kind of sushi especially, but... weird, man.
Like the hand rolls kind of thing?
Yeah.
Now, was the 70s Thai stick rolled into, like, shag carpeting or something like that?
with avocado green and,
70s
like,
Thai stick probably isn't even as good as, like, you know, dirt weed in Colorado now at a dispensary.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You guys remember that van? It had like the glass top on it, like a space window that you could like stick your head in and look out of.
No.
Where? Oh, a type of thing, not a particular one, but a style. Yeah.
It was like on vans,
like a little round, 70s. Like a quarter sphere moon window. Yeah.
And then of course there was always the Pacer. The AMC Pacer.
The Pacer. Isn't that what Walt drives? Oh my gosh. It was like all windows.
Is that what Walt drives?
Spoiler alert. I haven't started watching yet. Don't tell me what kind of car he drives. You'll just ruin the whole thing for me.
No. You need to start watching. I'm just going to sit here and like read the plot summary of all 19,000 seasons of Breaking Bad.
Michael, have you seen the latest episode of Better Call Saul?
What do you mean? Is there new ones?
Yeah.
As of when?
New season started, yeah.
I gotta go. Like... Have a good show, guys. I'm not even kidding. I almost hung up just to make it the joke, but then I have to come back. But so there's one or more new
It's episodes? One. Yeah, there's wow. yeah, the yeah. Hmm. Yep. And it's just as good. I mean, it's like it's just amazing.
How could
I
it
love
not be?
Vince Gilligan. Vince Gilligan's he's the man. Like, he is just bloody brilliant.
How about the skipper?
You know what Vince Gilligan wrote before Breaking Bad?
He wrote some X-Files episodes. I do know that.
Yeah. He wrote an X-Files episode that actually has, who's the actor that plays Walt? You know, that guy. He has that guy
Brian Cranston.
Playing like a white powered Nazi dude. As opposed to a, you know, inclusive Nazi dude, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. He wrote for something called Lone Gunman. Never heard of it. So I want to talk more about Liberty. What do you guys got? Tell me why. You know what? I'm just going to do this for the rest of the show. We're going to have hardcore Liberty intersected with just like Googling Thai stick. And
here's one of the things I see about Liberty. Okay, so a lot of people think of Liberty as, yeah, I can do what I want, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? For me, part of Liberty is taking responsibility for yourself. And I think that most of the problems in the world, in terms of, you know, governments and just people in general. And, you know, I mean, it's just like the world in general, I think would be so much better if I was in charge. No, I'm just kidding. If everybody took responsibility for their own stuff, like take responsibility for yourself. Don't look to someone else to fix you or fix your problems. And this can be applied to any aspect of life. I think that one of the biggest problems, like when people say we need to do this, and you guys kind of touched on it, was we need to do it, and that means that this other person has to do it, and you have to pay for it. You're not taking responsibility for your own security, your own safety. You're looking to someone else to do that for you, and you know, and it's the government's fault that people do that. I mean, it's, you know, the government and the, or the state in general convinces
government
people
school.
That there's something to fear. Yeah, there's something
government
to fear.
Government school doesn't really teach you how to function in the world and
right.
more and less
teaches
every
you
year.
How to vote and fill out applications for wealth
and be dependent yeah. and be dependent
yeah
you know it's yeah. like it, don't take responsibility for your own safety and security, look to someone else to do that.
Learned helplessness,
you know, we'll take care of you.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Do you want to be able to tell almost anyone almost anything with only two words? And how about if you could do it without saying a single word? Then you need Not a Guarantee, Wolberts. The new app that's like Pocket Alibi Lite, in that it's like Pocket Alibi if Pocket Alibi only had two words instead of 200 words. Oh yeah, and if it also played the Wolberts podcast. Wolberts, that's our word. Not a Guarantee, Wolberts, is from B-Slick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, the good people who brought you Bipcoin, Fiendphone, and the best-selling app, Find G.G. Allen's Grave. Log on today at https://play.google.com and get the free Bipcot licensed app, Not a Guarantee, Wolberts. Do it! Do it! Do it till you're satisfied!
Roxy's laying here, like half asleep, and her tongue is sticking out.
Is that your girlfriend? Oh, it's your dog, right?
You just described me, too.
I know.
She's so cute. Oh, my gosh.
So, Lou.
Yes.
Who should I vote for now that I believe in liberty?
Make yourself great again.
What?
Abandon the great man fallacy and lead yourself.
I'm acting like a statist. I'm asking.
Yes.
I'm trying to get Lou to talk about liberty by acting like a statist. But you have to vote. How about this? I'm gonna be a statist, and you can joke around, but answer the questions with like real info for people. So, because I'll let you joke around, because that's what liberty is. So. But you got to vote for somebody, right?
Why?
Because, you know, if you don't, the terrorists win.
Well, actually, if you don't vote, the terrorists don't win. Because.
What?
Yeah.
What?
All right, let's look at this. I'm going to do some maths here, and usually it would help to put up a little, put this on like a chalkboard or something.
Whiteboard.
Like that.
A chalkboard?
That's racist. Whiteboard.
I'm pushing 50, Diana. So anyway, if you don't vote, it's plus zero votes for the Republican, plus zero for the Democrat. Plus zero for the LP, plus zero for the Greens, and plus zero for all the for the rest of the commie spectrum. So, you know, you're voting for or you're not voting didn't cause anybody to get elected because you added absolutely zero votes. And quite frankly, blaming non-voters for election results is kind of like blaming non-drivers for car accidents. It's really not very smart, and it just shows a lot of ignorance on the part of the person that's saying it. So, anyway. But let's take it a step further. In the event that that you have a couple really horrible candidates, like just about every election, if you vote for one of them, and you're not voting for that one, you're not giving your vote to a candidate because you think that candidate would be the best one to rule your neighbors with an iron fist. You're doing it simply because that candidate is not the other candidate who mm-hmm. you think sucks a little bit more.
Right. Lesser of two evils fallacy.
Yeah. So if you're opposed to evil, why would you go with the lesser evil? Because you're still going to get evil.
Yep.
Michael, could you explain your thoughts on that?
On what? Which part?
Getting evil?
Wow. I'm hypnotized by this weed porn.
I didn't know this. To a statist here.
I didn't know this was a culture. But okay, but if I vote, like, well, you know, they're gonna tax my marijuanas. No, wait, that's wrong kind of statist. All right.
The answer to your question is yes. So, yeah, legalization is...
Yeah, why is it not a great for those people who do like the drugs and smoking the pots? Why shouldn't they be rooting for the government to legalize and regulate? And what is it they always say? Tax, decriminalize,
legalize, and tax it and regulate it. To which I say yes, no, and no.
All right, that was very succinct.
So. My question would be to you, Michael, or Diana, if you're going to be answering in Michael's behalf, because he's mesmerized by...
I found out why I keep seeing food when I search Thai stick. There's a restaurant in San Francisco called Thai Stick. It's a Thai restaurant. Okay. They don't serve weed, but it just they thought it would be cute to call it that. All right. All right, go on.
You know, there's a really good Thai restaurant up here in Bear Saskatchewan. Now, you take a look at it, it's like, oh, my God, it's a total Uber joint. You figure you walk in there, order a Pabst Blue Ribbon, a side of smoked whitefish, and a pasty. But no, they got really good Thai food there.
That's interesting because there was a really great Thai restaurant in the country, like out in the country in North Carolina, where you'd never expect it. But it was probably the best Thai restaurant I've ever been to. Weird.
So anyway, I guess my question would be if you think that it should be taxed, regulated, and legalized, what exactly do you envision that as a final result? What do you expect to have happen when it's legalized?
Well, you know, the politicians giving us the freedom they make.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, if it's freedom, does that be given to you, or is it something that's inherent?
Well, they have
it's in the Constitution.
I think you're talking about permission.
Yeah,
I think you're asking for a longer leash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking questions I can picture people who are uninformed asking.
Yeah, but doesn't the Constitution, doesn't that give us our rights here in the good old U.S. of A.?
No, the Constitution is a piece of paper. It can neither give rights nor take them away. But
what about that thing that's in there? It's called the Bill of Rights. What about that?
Huh? The Bill of Mites? Huh? Congress might not make a law restricting the freedom of religion or speech.
The Bill of Mites. That's funny. Yeah.
The right up? To keep and bear arms might not be infringed.
Did you make that up?
No, that's Dobby's.
That's funny. Where is Dobby?
I homesteaded it from him.
Dobby. But
I
guess when I say, what do you envision coming out of legalized sex and regulated? Most people will say that they want people to go and buy their recreational cannabis.
Marauds and Mascoles.
We're not there yet.
Oh, okay.
We're just talking about people being able to go out and get their recreational cannabis unmolested by the police. But the fact is, when you legalize it, tax it, and regulate it, you take it out of prohibition, or you take the enforcement out of prohibition, and you put it into... making sure that everybody's doing it by the book. Mm-hmm. So you still have enforcement going on, you still have people going to jail, and you still have people getting their doors kicked in and being arrested.
Yeah.
Because those same cops that were busting people for possession are now making sure that people are possessing in accordance with all these rules and regulations.
Oh, yeah, in Michigan, isn't the weeds legal there, but they're still arresting people all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what legalized tax and regulated looks like. To see what's in it.
Kick in your door to see what's in it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And you know, the thing about it is that here in Colorado, whenever you actually go to, and I'm not sure how it is in other states, but when you go to a pot shop, you have to show them your ID.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's sending me this picture of one of the pot shops, probably more than one, but one of them started a vending machine that sold pot from Bitcoin. And I make jokes about how, you know, true liberty is being able to buy crack cocaine across from the middle school in a vending machine next to the vending
what
machine.
What middle schools?
The private ones. Next to the vending machine that sells the assault rifles. And yes, assault rifle is a thing. Assault weapon is not a thing, for those who don't know. But... So someone sent me this picture, you know, oh, it's LibPair, Libertarian Paradise, which is spelled capital L-I-B, capital P-A-R. I'm back to being a me, not a statist here. So, you know, but they sent me this picture, but it's not really lib pair, because to use that vending machine, you have to show them your ID, and then they let you use the vending machine to buy pot with, you know. It's just a little like, almost there. Wouldn't this be nice? Fantasy machine.
Speaking of assault weapons or assault rifles, is an AR-15, is that considered an assault rifle?
Yes and no.
Okay, I shot one this past weekend. Yay.
Did it? That's awesome. Did more than one bullet come out when you pulled the trigger?
Yes.
Then it is an assault rifle.
Yes, right, it was fun.
Lou's in the Army. Lou's a cook in the Army. What kind of rifle did you use cooking in the Army, Lou?
M16A2.
Which is, I mean, what's the difference between an AR-15 that's, you know, can go from full auto to burst to single shot? What's the difference between that and what you had? Nothing?
Well, the M16A1 will go full auto and semi-auto. The M16A2 will go three-round burst and semi-auto. And I don't know if the AR-15 M16s can do both burst and full auto.
Yeah, the one that I shot didn't do burst. I mean, but it was definitely automatic.
Did you load the rounds?
It had a magazine.
So you didn't have your butler do it for you? Because I saw a guy doing that one time, and he spent like 20 minutes loading four rounds and then fired them for like a minute. And then he had to load 20 minutes more of rounds.
You mean like loaded the bullets into the magazine?
Mm-hmm. Into the mag.
Yeah, that does take a while.
Took him like 20 minutes. He wasn't hurrying, but it took him like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons...
Quickly.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I have a revolver. Even though it's much harder to shoot than you know, an automatic, it's just I hate loading bullets into a magazine.
Well,
so bad.
Automatic, in this term, you mean a semi-automatic handgun, using the old-timey phrase automatic as opposed to a revolver.
Okay. Right? All right, yes. I don't have the lingo all day.
Now, this AR-15 that you were shooting, if you pulled the trigger one time, more than one round would fire?
Just one time, no.
Okay, then that's
okay.
Not
so each time you pull, you pull the trigger, it would fire.
Yes.
One bullet only.
All right, yes. That's a semi-automatic.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
What most people have in America, who say they have a AR-15, and the magazines will call that, and the newspapers will call that, and the TVs will call that an assault rifle. But it's really a neutered assault rifle, because a true assault rifle is an intermediary cartridge, very portable rifle that has a detachable magazine and has switchable fire. What's the word? Not switchable. What's
selective fire.
Selective fire. Yeah, where you can shoot, you have a switch that can either shoot two or three different things. It's always either one. Semi-auto, one shot, one pull, one shot, or it's burst fire, which is usually three bullets on one shot, or it's full auto.
Okay, so for all I know, this could have had a switch on it, but I didn't. But it wasn't
they
switched.
Didn't let you near the switch.
Maybe not. Yeah, it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's why I was asking about did you load the mags, because when you're on full auto, it takes less than a second, right, Lou? To clear a 30-round mag of AR-15 or of M16?
No, I think it would take a couple seconds to empty a full magazine. It's been a long time since I fired on full auto. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But don't they fire 560 rounds a minute or something? Oh, I guess that would be, I don't know. I'm bad at the maths.
But I also shot a 44 semi-automatic handgun with a silencer. That was fun.
Yeah.
It was real fun.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Freedom Fiends! Helping the helpless! Freedom Fiends! Saving the universe! Freedom Fiends! Doing the things that I've done!
Taking the world from the state! Fighting the forces of hate!
Freedom Fiends! Helping the helpless! Freedom Fiends! Kicking the hornet's nest! Freedom Fiends! Doing the things that I've done!
Keeping the tasers away! You should be free, not a slave! You, but you'll hear the truth today. Yeah, we will not force you to stop it.
clock ain't never gonna stop in a Glasgow plow.
How long was that heroin vendor that you were talking about during the break? Now, somebody says to me, my God, you look horrible. Have you been using cocaine all night? And I said, did you just assume my bender?
Assume my bender. That's funny. So I woke up this morning to the sound of a mouse with a machine gun. It was like this really quiet, like... sound. I thought it, and it would do it about that long, kind of like full auto mouse.
Woodpecker.
No, but it was coming from my basement. Originally, I thought it was someone using a. I thought it was someone using a jackhammer, maybe a block away. You know, outside my closed windows.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, and I located it, and it's. It's my water heater, and it's oozing, and it's going to blow, so I'm getting it replaced. So it's $900. So hash pipe.
Hashtag please donate.
Please donate.
I started a Patreon. If you want to be my Patreon on Patreon, you'll get special things that other people aren't cool enough to get, like an occasional Freedom Fiends where I record the funny things we say on breaks that you have, you know, you're sitting here going, God, what is this cool stuff they're saying during the breaks? Well, if you were one of my patriots, which is what I'm calling my donators on Patreon, you'd know, because I just released something to them last night that no one else gets. So, you know, people that are donating to me on, what's that thing? PayPal. If you feel like switching over to Patreon, you can. If not, you can keep doing it there. All money's good. But if you're not donating at all, send me some right now if you can for my my wife and I replacing our water heater. We'll do it, but it's tight. It'd be nice to have a little help to be a little less tight. But also just in general, ongoing, you know, become the Patreon to me at patreon.com/fiend. Yeah, and you can send money to there's a PayPal one like that too. It's PayPal.me/fiend is my and I also put some donate money to the fiends with that too for expenses. Yeah, I just started a new expense too. It's the spending $200 a year extra for the server, streaming server for cussfreeliberty.org, and I got my first email today from a stranger saying thank you for making this. She didn't have any money either, but yeah, so
that's so sweet.
That is. Do you guys get fan letters? You should. You're good.
I get some occasionally.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. From people that I don't know, I have no connection from.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's kind of nice.
What's happening with Campaign for a Longer Leash? You still updating that?
No, I haven't messed with that in a while. It's kind of page faded.
Yeah, page faded, as opposed to pod faded, which is when a podcast goes away. So what's the name of that? Explain that meme.
Campaign for a Longer Leash. It's a play on Campaign for Liberty or Campaign for a Tiny Bit More Liberty, because they're not into real liberty. They're into constitutional liberty, and they're not looking for freedom. They're just looking for a longer leash. So they still want to be controlled and taken for walks and given a treat every once in a while. They just want to run a little bit further off of the path into the tree. So
and then to be yanked back to keep them safe. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Because the leash is retractable.
They want to get back to the Constitution, but they'll carry their own leash for them.
Yeah, in their mouths.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That is embarrassing.
As a matter of fact, the anchor of that page, the driving force behind it for the longest time was Lisa, Nima's mom. So former co-host Nima Vidati of the Freedom Fiends, his mom is a meme mistress.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah.
She made a lot of those.
Knew? I remember
that. That's good.
Yeah. She practically carried that page. I miss her doing that.
Way to go, lady.
But she's grown up now and
Lisa. Yeah.
Yeah, she's grown up and now she's a psychologist or something like that.
Something cool. Well,
I can't believe the show went by so fast.
Wow. I know. Because we had fun. So we didn't have any show notes. This is like every show with Jim Jesus. Show notes? What's that?
What's that?
Only these stinking show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're talking about have a couple, cool though.
Stuff. It's got a couple to fall back on. But, you know, explain liberty is always a good topic. Because people listen on radio, they think we're talking about getting back to the Bill of Mites.
Yeah.
Dust mites?
Oh, goodness gracious. Dust mites.
The Bill of Dust Mites.